Hello, I'm back, Mary Carl Giao, and I'm hosting the May Day special from 12 to 2 p.m. on 93.3 FM CFRU, where we've been playing speeches and interviews recorded at Guelph's first May Day rally, which was held yesterday evening in front of the Guelph City Hall. And now we have Fuerza Puerza member organizer Eduardo Huesca, and he has speech. We recorded his speech, and he also Heather with CFRU also interviewed Eduardo. And again, Fuerza Puerza is a migrant worker advocacy group, and a lot of people ask, you know, what does the name mean? And Fuerza Puerza are both two separate words. The same word in two different languages. Fuerza means strength or a force in Spanish, and puerza means also strength and a force and or a force but in Filipino, in Tagalog more specifically, and the group had chosen that name like 4 years ago. They were originally called Student Support for Migrant Workers. That's actually 5 years ago, and we just liked this name better. It rhymes, and we felt like it was empowering to be an all racialized people, working class led group, and we wanted to also pass on empowerment if we can to and try to create spaces so that people who are working as migrant workers to feel empowered. I'm going to play his talk, and then I think Sarah's after this interview, if I remember correctly. Okay, so Sarah Scanlon, that's Sarah Scanlon with OPER Guelph, who's currently a staff there for this summer. So here is the final piece of the May Day special, and though I'll still be playing May Day-centric related content afterwards.
We have Eduardo Huesca. He's with Fuerza Puerza, local migrant worker advocacy group.
Hi, thanks for coming out, and thanks to the organizers of the event.
Thank you for organizing this event and for coming out here. Thanks to the organizers. My name is Eduardo Huesca, and I work with a local Guelph group called Fuerza Puerza, and we work in solidarity with folks working as migrant workers. We specifically do a lot of our work with folks working on farms as migrant farm workers, both in throughout Ontario, in Bradford, in Simcoe, in Leamington, in the Niagara region, as well as in Guelph itself. So I'm going to keep it short, but it was important for us to kind of come out and try to really start connecting to the broader labor movement. I think oftentimes we work really in isolation, and it's been hard for us. We're not a lot of people, but it's been hard for us to really start connecting the dots and building solidarity amongst all workers. We tend to kind of really, really focus with the communities that we're working with. I guess what we really wanted to kind of touch on is the fact that, as you know, employers, and that we're seeing increasingly employers are misusing temporary worker programs, there is kind of this outrage that comes out of a lot of national workers. And they speak out, and people talk about Canadian jobs and the welfare of Canadian people. And as somebody had mentioned, that's great in terms of you know, standing up for rights and making sure that we're not promoting the race to the bottom of workers, and we're not, you know, trying to fire people to be able to pay people less and all that. But at the same time, it was really important for us to really acknowledge and challenge the xenophobia and racism that can come out of these situations, and really kind of try to have more nuanced conversations with people that aren't simplified. And it's not only about, you know, Canadian jobs and things like that, but about all workers, on the conditions that are forcing people to really look for strategies under the current systems to kind of come in and work and find work, even if when it is for less and even if it is for, you know, really poor conditions. So it's understanding what drives people to do that and understanding that context. On today, I was driving to work, and on CBC Radio, they had a whole special about basically outsourcing and using the temporary foreign worker programs. And you know, they were identifying some important issues about I think they were calling them intercompany transfers, where it's a pathway that's being really misused by a lot of corporations to pay people less and to really really mess with workers. But at the same time, what this show did in trying to really promote you know, this important spotlight on this issue, at the same time they were painting, you know, Indian folks from India as villains, you know, as schemers, as people that were ripping off Canadian jobs. And we have to be really aware of that, and we have to really challenge that, you know, because it's people experiencing capitalism in different ways, in more intense ways, you know, in colonialism and racism. And it's people who are looking for resources, for opportunities for themselves and their families. And we also have to recognize the repercussions that this has on brown folks in Canada working in the workplace. And now when people villainize people from India, what does that mean in terms of racism in the workplace, increased racism in the workplace of maybe people like, you know, a lot of this discourse of taking jobs being, you know, forwarded against, you know, members of our communities. And so that's kind of what we're standing is trying to work with unions, trying to work with the labor movements to really try to have those nuanced conversations and try to not keep things between Canadian workers and quote-unquote foreign workers. We have a few campaigns that we're working on. Today I actually was in Simcoe, Ontario, where Diane Finley, the Minister of HRSDC, Human Resource and Skills Development Canada, her constituency office is actually in Simcoe, and Simcoe is one of the communities where the most amount of people are arriving to work on farms under migrant worker programs. And in last December, she took away the last bit of EI benefits that these individuals had. So people working as migrant workers had been paying into EI since the beginnings of these programs. So every year they were paying into, I think that poster says, $126 million into EI in 2009. And this money was used to pay off Canadian debt. And none of this money went to improve, you know, situations for, you know, for these people in terms of housing, in terms of anything. None of it was used. It was to pay debt. And in terms of benefits, in terms of EI benefits, they were not allowed to collect any except for parental benefits, which was a bit of money that was given to them if they had kids back home, to basically support their kids back home. And in December, Diane Finley basically took this away. So this is a huge attack, not only for folks working as migrant workers, but for their families. And these EI benefits were used, you know, to support families back home, and they became important money for them. And this is, I mean, in light of people working under really intense conditions, you know, working to support these industries under conditions where they're getting hurt. There's no, you know, there's hasn't been really straightforward regulations. We're not seeing, you know, industry-wide regulations, actual, you know, enforcement of on paper rights. And we're seeing deaths, and there's no, you know, inquiries into deaths. There's never been an inquiry into the death of a migrant worker to date. And right now, Justicia in Toronto and other groups have been forwarding a human rights case to try to really push for that and to really have the government investigate these conditions and really see what comes out of it. So I won't talk too much longer, but the recent changes that the government announced today in terms of revoking the 15% that you can't pay migrant workers 50% less should be seen as a big thing. And they're also calling for consultations nationwide to get people's feedback on temporary worker programs. But what needs to be really recognized is in their announcement, nowhere did they call for people under these programs to be part of those consultations. They talk about Canadians, they talk about unions. And again, everything's being kind of framed as in the government, you know, is scared of the feedback of this nationalist sentiment coming out of Canadians saying, you know, we want our jobs protected. So these consultations are coming out of the government kind of trying to band-aid solution that and saying, no, we're listening to Canadians. We're listening, so, you know, don't worry, we care about your livelihoods. But we need to remember who this is on the back of and who's working these jobs and why weren't, you know, these consultations called for them? Because, you know, throughout the formation of these programs and the running of these programs, folks under these programs have not been represented in shaping these programs, in shaping how these programs affect their living and working conditions. So we need to call for their inclusion in these consultations and show up and basically crash these consultations and really call for that. So we work in Guelph, and if we'd love to collaborate with more people under working as in different labor struggles. And thank you very much.
My name is Eduardo Huesca, and I'm part of Fuerza Puerza Guelph, and we're an organization that works as allies for mostly migrant farm workers, but also migrant workers or people working under Canada's temporary worker programs. I think what kind of initiated, I was born in Mexico, and all my family is from Mexico, and my immediate family, my mom, my sister, and my dad, we were able to come to Canada. And first we came my dad came under a study permit, and he was able to bring us over. It was during the time where, I guess, the immigration system was a little bit more relaxed. And basically we came over here. Eventually we had to actually leave. We were asked to leave and to go back to Mexico when his study permit ended. And then eventually he was able to get sponsored with a job, and eventually we came over and we were able to get citizenship. I was very small. I grew up in this country, but I guess kind of just really looking into my roots and understanding the privilege that my family was able to come here and under status and under full status and eventually get citizenship status and all basically the benefits that have come out of that in terms of me accessing education, things like that. It really got me thinking in terms of connecting with other people coming from Mexico and understanding what the various statuses that they're coming under and why, you know, me and my family were able to come a certain way and now we're here, and then other people now are coming under, you know, these precarious statuses like temporary status, never able to get citizenship, or undocumented status, and, you know, having to work under the table under really dangerous and precarious conditions. So it kind of mobilized me to really try to work with communities and other people, starting specifically, it started with working with Mexican folks coming from Mexico, and eventually with just in general people come from different countries. But that's kind of what got me that idea that I moved through, you know, borders in a certain way and recognizing that people aren't, and wanting to kind of, you know, push and fight for the same opportunities for everybody to have and benefit from having a livelihood and for them and their family. So, yeah, and I'm connected. We are here just because we really want to start establishing our work more with the broader labor movement and connecting to unions and really address any kind of xenophobia or racism that can come up amidst kind of like calls for nationalist, you know, Canadian jobs versus, you know, intruder foreigners who are taking jobs. We really want to be there to really challenge that and work with unions to kind of really call for a broad labor movement that's inclusive and respectful of everybody's needs and requirements and stuff. So,
I think that there's been a real movement across Turtle Island, at least specifically across like Canada, in a real move away from the complete focus on only union conversations. Those are really, really important. But it's been a really, for me, a nice piece. And there's a push to really have a lot more voices about I Don't Know More being taken up in the past year, about conversations about, you know, who on, you know, whose land is this, on whose land are we building these structures that we're working in, who are we, you know, causing a massive violence against in our continued worker process of defining what work looks like. Also, there's been the past couple years a movement towards really focusing on the conversations of, I guess, migrant worker, but I guess just migrant justice in general. So groups like No One Is Illegal have really started to match up with Mayday across different communities and create the conversations and link those conversations, because I think that we can't create, you know, a siloed conversation about and only represent certain bodies. I think there's been more of a movement to recognize those that still, you know, don't have space, and often, you know, that quote that no one is silent but many are unheard. And so I think there's that piece within worker justice conversations. There's many bodies that just don't have a presence. And I think there's a real movement to create space and appreciate that. I see that there's a lot of, obviously over the past while, there's a lot of real anti-capitalist, but also really anarchist movements being involved in the conversation and recognizing that this is a broader systemic problem that lots of people need to be involved with lots of different politics and lots of different focuses for their activism, but this is a conversation that links all of us.
And what about in Guelph? What do you, with your experience and your knowledge of Guelph communities, Guelph organizations, ongoing efforts, how do you see Guelph playing a part in May Day this year?
So I think the goal for us was just to encourage people to, I guess, start linking the conversations about worker justice to other kinds of activism. That was kind of our push, was to get people to go out and be part of a lot of other May Day stuff happening, start the conversation, hopefully get more people involved next year. So this year there's QP3913, Oprah, Guelph, and Forza Porsa putting this event on, but we're hoping many different groups. We reached out and we want to, I guess, build the initiative so a lot more unions are involved, a lot more activist groups who basically recognize that this issue is linked to all of our work, and so we need to, I guess, be more active on that. I think the other pieces for us is trying to create a connection with what's going on around, you know, a huge hike in student tuition and how this links to students' lack of access to work, and how, you know, that real struggle around, they have this massive debt and then there's really little access to work for young people. So trying to get more students involved in the movement in Guelph.
So I'm here at the May Day, Guelph's first May Day rally, interviewing folks about what May Day means to them and why they're coming out today. Go ahead.
Okay. My name is Joshua Gilbert. I'm here at the Guelph May Day today, and I usually celebrate May Day because I think it's important to take time out of our days to consider the human potential we have as individuals that gets taken from us every day at the workplace, and getting squeezed by our landlords, and different aspects of capital extraction. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important, and it's important also to recognize that some other people around the world are getting squeezed a lot more than us, and we live in a world where it's really hard, almost impossible for us to do what we want and thrive in the ways that we're capable of. And so that's why I come to May Day. It's about workers' rights. It's about the way people who work as migrant workers get treated really unfairly throughout the world, and especially in Canada, but also throughout the world. And it's also about individually, like, thinking about what you're worth and saying to the world, you're worth a lot.
Right on. Cool. Thank you.
And you're up.
My name is Byron Murray, and I'm here for the May Day celebrations and rally. It's happening at City Hall on 10 Carden Street here in downtown Guelph. I guess I'm here because I'm really into the idea of May Day as an international workers' holiday. Been into it since I was 13, I think, and I went to my first May Day rally downtown Toronto. It was a Reclaim the Streets action. It was really nice. We took over Bay Street. And then ever since, I've been inspired to participate in May Day rallies wherever I am. It's nice to see folks coming out in Guelph, and it's a smaller community, but we can still get people out to come and participate. And it makes me quite happy to be here and to participate with everybody else. I think especially now more than ever, workers and unemployed and precariously employed folks need to organize together and stand in solidarity with each other and have each other's backs. So that way, when bosses, the state, police, when all sorts of forces are maligned against them, they can stand together and just support one another. Yeah. Happy May Day.
Hello. My name is Mary Carl Gale. I am hosting the May Day special from 12 to 2 p.m. on CFRU 93.3, and we're nearing the end of the hour. I just wanted to close off the May Day special by thanking everyone who attended the rally and who attended this discussion, the discussion gathering after the rally. We had a bit of a discussion surrounding sustaining May Day organizing in Guelph, and are hoping to also do a rally next year, and would love for more unions and more organizations, especially grassroots organizations, to get involved and contribute to shaping the May Day rally and events happening in Guelph next year.